listening to John and Scott on AKC's Total Talk Nonsense.
This is episode 23, part 3 with John and Scott, the heavy metal episode.
AKC Total Talk Nonsense, and if you're just joining us, we're halfway through, not even halfway through, our top 10 movies of all time that we can watch over and over.
Shut up!
If you're just joining us, check out part 1, part 2, and part 3 of AKC's Total Talk Nonsense, episode 23, because we're in the middle of our top 10 songs? No.
Movies.
Top 10 movies of all time that we can watch over and over. And John, you're on number 8.
I am.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. This is my clue.
It's not that I condone fascism, or any ism for that matter. Isms, in my opinion, are not
I know.
Good. A person should not believe in an ism. He should believe in himself. I quote John Lennon, "I don't believe in Beatles. I just believe in me."
I know.
Good point there. After all, he was the walrus. I could be the walrus. I'd still have to bum rides off of people.
I think I know.
Yeah.
Is that the guy who's married to Sex in the City?
Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick?
Yeah.
Erica, do you have a guess?
It's like right at the tip of my tongue.
And Steve?
I already know the movie. I know it.
I'm going to guess, but I may not be right. Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Uh-huh.
That is correct, sir!
Yeah, my number 8 is Ferris Bueller's Day Off, 1986. John Hughes.
Another John Hughes movie.
And it was based... love the John Hughes movies. The whole 80s thing is...
It's when we grew up, man.
Yeah, you know what's weird, though? As I was listening to all these 80s tunes back then, you know, the all the radio stuff. But at that time, I was cranking heavy metal. I was listening to Metallica. I was listening to poser bands like Rat and Motley Crue and... And I was playing in bands like that. I was playing at the Thirsty Whale.
Never Slayer?
Yeah, I listened to Slayer. I went to see him. I saw Sabotage live.
Oh, I saw
Sabotage.
Slayer.
Never I saw say Slayer. Sabotage.
No, Sava. Sabotage.
You may why. Say Sabotage. I say Sabotage.
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 Anyways, at the time of filming, and this is supposed to be set in high school for you know, Matthew Broderick.
Matthew,
Jennifer Grey, Alan Ruck, and Maya Sarah.
Don't forget Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen.
No doubt.
When?
Matthew Broderick
was the bad guy.
He was 23. Jennifer Grey was 25. Alan Ruck was 30. And Maya Sarah was only 17.
Alan Ruck was 30?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was Cameron, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Cameron.
In an early draft of the script, Ferris had two additional younger siblings. Charlie Sheen, who played the drug addict at the police station to which Jeannie is taken, stayed awake for more than 48 hours before the scene was shot to produce the desired drugged-out effect.
Why didn't he just smoke some pot? Stupid ass.
I don't know.
See what trouble it's got him into?
Yeah.
Of course, he is married to Denise Richardson, who's smoking hot.
I think they're divorced, man.
No, they're back together. They got separated for a while.
Their second child.
Sloane is based, and that's the chick. That's the chick that he's...
Sloane, right.
He's doing. Ferris is doing. Sloane is based on...
I don't remember Charlie Sheen in that movie.
On a high school version of Nancy Hughes, John's wife, Cameron and Garth Volbeck, Charlie Sheen's druggy character... are based on acquaintances of Hughes from high school.
Wow.
Cameron's fake Mr. Peterson voice was based on an old drama coach Ruck and Broderick used to study under. Hughes never met the man and didn't understand the little in-joke at all, but it cracked up the two actors so much they used it for the voice.
What joke was that?
That was the Mr. Peterson when he was... he was calling up and I think calling in for Ferris being sick.
Oh, right. Ferris was calling in for Ferris, right?
No
Cameron was
it.
Calling in for Ferris. Oh,
right. Oh, that's right.
I just saw it a couple weeks ago.
Wow. There you go. There you have it.
My daughter loves that movie, too.
Yeah. Ben Stein, who plays the economics teacher holds a degree in economics when he is giving his lecture in class. It wasn't scripted. Stein is giving a real lecture. The only part of his scenes that was scripted is when he calls attendance.
I've seen that movie like 400 times.
Bueller.
I do not remember Ben Stein.
Bueller.
What song did
yeah,
he
you
sing
do.
When he was on the boat thing?
He's going Bueller, Bueller.
He sang two songs. He sang Aus Wiedersehen, and he sang Shake It Up, Baby.
And this is an interesting one, which is actually happens in 16 Candles also. In the film, Ferris frequently breaks the fourth wall, addresses the audience directly, where he looks right into the camera. Look, that scene he was talking in the beginning of...
In the shower.
Yeah.
Right.
But...
Steve checking in the shower.
Anthony Michael Hall. Michael Anthony Hall. What's his name?
Anthony Michael Hall.
He breaks the fourth wall in
16 Candles
when he's in the car.
No doubt.
And the chick goes between his legs and he looks at the camera and he's driving a Rolls. He's like, oh. I forget what he says, but he didn't need to say anything at that point. She was going down on him.
No doubt. All right, then.
But that didn't make my list. So that was my number eight.
My number eight, John. If you have time to play some audio for my number eight and let our guests try to guess. Our guests.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Easy.
You got anything else? Erica, do you know? Steve knows. Erica doesn't know.
It's a good movie.
Give me something else.
I'd like to keep this handy for close encounters.
Is it Alien?
Heard that.
No, close. It is not. Very close.
Aliens.
There you go.
There it is.
Aliens from 1986. Now, this is the highest rated movie that I've selected on IMDb. 8.3 out of 10. It's number something overall. It's in the top 250. But it only makes my number 8, John.
Wow.
The only survivor of the Nostromo, Ripley is discovered in deep sleep half a century later by a salvaged ship. When she is taken back to Earth, she learns that a human colony was founded on the same planet where the aliens were first found. That's from Aliens 1. After contact with the colony is lost, she finds herself sent back to the planet along with a team of warriors bent on destroying the alien menace forever. So,
why don't you put her in charge?
No doubt. You got Sigourney Weaver.
Is that Bill Paxton?
Yeah.
Michael Biehn is Corporal Dwayne Hicks. Lance Hendrickson is the underrated bishop. And Paul Reiser, at the pinnacle, the peak of his career, is Carter Burke, in my opinion.
Who was the bishop?
Ripley, Lance. I'm a little disappointed in you.
Didn't he play in Millennium?
He did. But I'm talking about Paul Reiser here.
Where did he go?
Who knows what?
He was on
what,
TV.
Oh, Mad
he
About
did,
You.
Mad About
Mad
You.
Mad About
that's
You. But
over, though.
Yeah, in 50
Paul
years,
Reiser.
Nobody knows going to hell. Nobody knows going to hell? Nobody going to know what the hell Mad About You is, but they're going to know Paul Reiser from Aliens.
That's right.
As Carter Burke.
So.
Carter the weaseliest Burke. Guy ever in the history of the universe. And Paul Reiser did a outstanding effing job.
Yeah.
And John, you mentioned Bill Paxton before as Private Hudson.
Yeah.
What a stellar cast, stellar movie. Outstanding. I can watch that movie over and over. Over and over again. A little bit of trivia. Hicks was originally played by James Remar. Do you know who that is? Mm-mm. Remember Ajax from the Warriors? Ajax?
48 Hours.
But Michael Biehn replaced him a few days after principal photography began due to artistic differences between Remar and the director, James Cameron. And there
Good
you have
know.
It. That's my number eight.
Good to know. Here's my number seven. We're going with seven, right?
Seven, baby.
We've got to do something.
He's right.
You're right. We got to do something.
Absolutely.
You know what we got to do? Toga party.
Easy.
Of course. My number seven is Animal House, 1978, John Landis. I could watch that all the time. I mean, for me, having a party at the house or something, backdrop, having the Animal House on.
No doubt.
Just because of the tunes, the whole thing, John Belushi, you name it. I could read a bunch of stuff here, but I think it speaks for itself.
It does, and the only reason I almost put it on my list, it made my honorable mention, but I didn't, is because it goes without saying that Animal House is something you can watch over and over and over again. And it's something we talked about before, and everybody in the cast was perfectly cast. Just an outstanding effing movie. Outstanding.
Okay, are all of your movies around the same
genre? Time?
Period?
80s,
time period?
It sounds.
Is that because of your age?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, you know, we're going to post our top 10 on the forum, so if you want to post your own top 10...
I'm not saying my own top 10. I'm just asking if...
Because I would love to hear what Erica's top 10 movies would be.
Oh, really?
You know, because we are separated by a decade, almost.
Mm-hmm.
A decade, right. Yeah.
You're that old?
Well, not that old.
All right, ready?
I'm approaching that old.
I am the youngest, right?
You're number seven.
Number seven. Mm-hmm. My number seven.
How old are you?
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Shut the fuck up, Jokey.
Oh.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, you cock-smoking clerk.
Dennis, how many times have I told you not to be dealing in front of the store?
Enough, y'all, man. What are you talking about?
That's going to be on a different list for me.
So, Erica, do you know what this is?
No. I know.
Play another clip. Steve knows.
It's easy.
I'm a firm believer in the philosophy of a ruling class, especially since I rule.
No doubt. This is Clerks from 1994,
that's
Kevin
right.
Smith.
Kevin Smith's first movie.
We're going to make some money. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to that party. We're going to get some pussy. And I'm going to fuck this bitch. I'm going to fuck this bitch. I'll fuck anything that moves.
I'm going to go down on you like a seal.
Jason Mewes.
Yeah.
This was 7.9 out of 10 on IMDb.
I got a quick story to tell you about Jason Mewes.
All right.
I went to a birthday party last Sunday. I think it was Sunday or Saturday. And... Brian Weeder, his brother-in-law, Chris, is friends with a guy who works for Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And he got, like, press passes or whatever. They gave him a pass that he was an artist or a writer for Captain America. So he was in the hotel. And they're standing in the elevator, and this dude behind him is like, "Oh, you going to a party, man?" And he turns around, and it's Jason Mewes. So Jason Mewes went with them to their hotel room and was drinking beers with them all night.
That's hot.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you sure that's the right acronym?
What?
Or the right adjective that's hot?
I'm not sure about anything. Okay, what are you sure about?
Nothing. Go ahead.
All right, then.
I got a squeaky chair.
The
man.
Cost of obtaining the rights to the soundtrack, 27 G's, outweighed the entire production cost for this film. Did you know that? 26 G's.
No.
Clerks?
Jason Mewes was left off the cover and poster because executives believed him to be too odd-looking for advertising. The anti-smoking sentiment in the film represented Kevin Smith's own viewpoint when he wrote the screenplay. Silent Bob doesn't inhale when he puffs on his cigarette because of this. After filming the movie, Kevin Smith became a two-pack-a-day smoker.
Yeah, I know.
Stupid ass.
Well, maybe it is something with...
Julie's gum, man!
Because Matt made me watch that movie like 8 years ago.
And what did you think?
I just watched it.
That's a fantastic
movie. You didn't like it?
Movie.
Maybe it's like a gender thing. It's like the Three Stooges.
That could be.
See, that's not one of those movies I could watch over and over. Because the criteria was, like, no matter what, you know.
Yeah, no matter what, I can watch that over and over.
I need some silence because I need to concentrate on the dialogue.
Oh,
because they
you actually laid the criteria as, even if it was playing in the middle of the show and you flipped through the channel, you would continue watching
right.
it.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
You have it up on the shelf. And you
right.
could have started from scratch.
Yeah.
Right.
But you couldn't turn yourself away.
So, for this movie... for me to watch Clerks, it would be a special occasion. Scott's over.
We're naked.
We're pounding some.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Some drinks. And I say, "Hey, man, want to watch Clerks? All right."
Right.
Only
okay.
If you drop
only
your
if
pants.
You whip out your big cock.
All right. Stop exaggerating.
All right. Well, you're the one.
Oh,
that
you
said
mean quit
it.
Dreaming?
Yeah.
I did mention my length and girth.
I'm looking at you. You wore green so you could hide.
Another 80s.
I don't blame you. You're a tramp. Oh, that was a good one. Oh, that was right.
Maybe I'm too young.
Oh, Mrs. Crane,
another
you're
80s.
A monkey woman, you know that? You're a little monkey woman.
These are more classics.
You're mean, and you're not too far between either, I bet, are you, huh? Would you like to wrap your spikes around my head?
Calm your eyes, man.
Outstanding.
Caddyshack, 1980, directed by Harold Ramis.
Outstanding selection. That's on my honorable mention.
Jeez.
What number are we on?
And we're on
I didn't,
six.
I didn't, again, the reason I didn't put it on my top ten is because it's like a no-brainer to put it on your top ten.
But you always talk about that movie.
I know, and that's something I can watch anytime, any place, but I didn't put it on my top ten because I wanted to expose our fans to some other movies. Because Caddyshack...
What's the fucking point of the wait, the
okay,
subject?
Okay, I know, so I'm confused, okay?
You talk about this movie all the time.
Go ahead.
Well, the film was Ramis' first feature and was a major boost to Dangerfield's film career. He was previously known mostly for his stand-up comedy, grossing almost $40 million in the U.S. alone, 16th highest of the year. It was the first of a series of similar comedies. In 2000, Caddyshack appeared on the American Film Institute's list of the 100 funniest American films in 2005. A line from the movie was chosen by AFI for their list of top 100 movie
Which
quotes.
Line?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Cinderella Story. Out of nowhere, a former
huh?
greenskeeper.
Bill Murray.
Now okay. about to become the Masters champion.
Right.
It looks like America. It's in the hole. It's in the hole. It's in the hole. Yeah. Number 98 was on that list.
It was number 98
number
out of 100?
Number 98, yeah.
Who the fuck are those people? It should be in the top 10. Stupid asses. Another form of stupidity.
So why did you like the movie?
Caddyshack, a direct precursor of today's teen gross-out movies, will never be mistaken for a work of cinematic greatness, but it was groundbreaking in its own way, and it's still much better than any other golf movie before or since, most of which make the mistake of taking the game too seriously.
Well, that's because Shia LaBeouf's movie's not out yet. How could they even... they kind of dismiss it in their quote that you just read.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit. It's one of the greatest comedies of all time.
Well, the quote was from Golf Digest.
Oh, fuck Golf Digest. Get your head out of your ass, you pompous a-holes. It's the best golf movie ever.
It was one of the funniest goddamn movies I've ever seen.
And if we do a top 10 or top 5 of the all-time greatest movie characters, Ty, for me, is going to be right up there.
Well, you know the scene where he knocks the ball and rattles it through Carl Spangler's whatever the fuck he's living in, the shed, and Spangler fires up a big dube and then
cannonball
it. He's smoking the weed and well, apparently Bill Murray and Chevy Chase
hated each other. They still do.
So Ramis and the two of them and all three of them together got together for lunch the day before and they said, let's work out a scene somehow. And they decide to ad-lib that whole scene. There was no script at all. Just, you're going to knock the ball through here and then figure out what to do. And there's some outtakes on the actual DVD that they didn't use, and that was the final product right there, the one that made it to the movie.
It's out of sight. And don't forget the late, great Ted Knight.
Oh, yeah.
In his outstanding role.
Billy Baroo. Billy Baroo. Billy.
And his grandson, Spalding.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That fucking guy. He's drinking everybody's leftover drinks, and he sucks down one with a big cigarette butt in it.
And then harks up in a Porsche.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Great movie.
All right, let's move on to your number six.
My number six.
Bond. James Bond.
Which one, though?
Which one?
Really?
Play some other audio, man.
Well, that one wasn't Sean Connery.
That was Sean Connery.
Just a
was
drink. It? A martini, shaken, not stirred.
A martini.
That's Erica's favorite Bond.
Shaken, not stirred.
Sean Connery. There you go. My number six is Goldfinger from 1964.
Wow.
7.8 out of 10. James Bond in Goldfinger. No doubt my favorite James Bond movie of all time. And Sean Connery, the only James Bond. In related news, John.
That's what the introduction of Odd Job.
Odd Job, who is a wrestler, professional wrestler.
Nice squeak.
Thank you.
In related news, Daniel Craig is unveiled as the new James Bond.
You mean James Blonde.
Right. And I don't know why
that was my joke for tonight,
why
man.
Wouldn't he color his hair? But he's going to replace Pierce Brosnan in the role of the suave spy in Casino Royale, due in theaters next year.
So who are you? Blonde. James Blonde.
Daniel is a superb actor who has all the qualities needed to bring the contemporary edge to the role. All right, then.
Excellent.
But getting back to...
getting
back to... God damn it, I lost my page, man! Oh, shit.
You bring in so many goddamn documents.
Oh, and the one page, what did I do with it? Here it is. All right. A little bit of trivia. The producers had to pay for the Aston Martin, but after the success of the film, both at the box office and for the company, they never had to spend money on a car again. And who can forget Pussy Galore? Can you forget Pussy Galore?
No,
I cannot.
I can never forget a Pussy
Galore. Pussy Galore introduces herself to Bond, who replies, I must be dreaming. The original script
not Bond.
Had Bond replying...
He's Scottish.
The original script had Bond replying, I know you are, but what's your name? This was deemed too suggestive.
Oh.
This is the first Bond film to be shown on U.S. commercial TV on Sunday, 17th September 1972, and that's when I saw it, goddammit.
Oh, push
it. Because it made a huge impact on me. Earning the highest Nielsen ratings for a single movie on TV up to the time, 49% of the nation's viewers tuned in that night. ABC.
Yeah.
And
James Bond.
Have you seen Honor Blackman? She portrayed Pussy Galore. Have you seen her lately?
No.
She still holds up.
Yeah?
Not bad. And Gert Frobe was Arik Goldfinger, and he couldn't speak English, so he was completely dubbed.
Was he
and
really?
And he got 10% of the box office.
Wow.
Now that guy knows what he's doing.
Wow.
No doubt.
Now, was that the first appearance of... Sean Connery?
No, it was not. Dr. No was the first. It was the first appearance of Q, Bernard Lee.
Do you have the collection, the James Bond collection?
I do not. No.
I have the first one.
Is that
There's
Dr. No?
Three of them.
Or is that Thunderball?
It has Dr. No. It has Thunderball. It has it has the Timothy Dalton one. It has
Is that like the first seven?
GoldenEye. Yeah, it's not the first seven. They, like, mix it up for some reason. Instead of the first volume, they mix it up with all the Bonds. And then the second one is you know, Dr. No and Goldfinger's in there. The Timothy Dalton one, License to Kill, is in there.
Yeah,
GoldenEye is in there.
Yeah.
I forget the one with Jaws. Moonraker's in there. And another Roger Moore. I forget the other one.
Living like that.
Could be.
Well, John, when I saw this movie,
Fever.
And I was, it came on TV in 1972, so I was 8 years old. I decided to live my life like James Bond, and I haven't met up to expectations because, you know, for instance, I'll be walking through a door,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And my jacket will catch, my pocket or something will catch on the door, and I'll be walking out, and the door will pull me back in, and I'll fall over. And I say to myself, That would never fucking happen to James Bond, man. What's wrong with me? Why can't I be more like James Bond? And Sean Connery is the only James Bond.
Sean Connery. All right,
so
here's mine.
7 years apart?
That was my number six.
Right? Here's my number five. Ready?
Ready.
Are you still macking on...
No.
No, is that
go
right?
Ahead, man.
7 years apart?
What is?
Us? In this room.
I don't know. I'm 41.
41. Steve's what, 42?
41.
Wow.
7 years?
34.
Cyborgs don't feel pain. I do. Don't.
Oh, easy.
Listen and understand. That Terminator is out there. It can't be bargained with. It can't be reasoned with. It doesn't feel pity or remorse or fear. And it absolutely will not stop. Ever. Until you are dead.
That's Reese from the Terminator. Or
great
just
pick.
Terminator. 1984, James Cameron.
1984,
another
1980s. James Cameron.
Yeah.
It was an outstanding movie. It really introduced Arnold. To the American movie-going audience.
Well, did you know that the roles were going to be reversed? Arnold was actually going to play... I don't know who...
Reese?
Yeah, he was going to play Reese.
I didn't know that.
O.J. Simpson was considered to play the role of the Terminator.
Yeah. All right, then.
When Reese breaks the ignition lock on the Cadillac Eldorado with the end of a shotgun, the entire scene is a factual error. The pre-1978 GM vehicles had a spring clip which retained the lock cylinder to the steering column. In real life, the film led to the rise of GM and AMC, particularly Jeep vehicles, being stolen the following year. So meaning that when he did that, it really did happen that way.
Showed everybody how to do
it. Yeah, here's how you do it. People stole cars. But, yeah, let's see. Some aspects of the story were sufficiently similar to two episodes of the TV series The Outer Limits. Both episodes written by Harlan Ellison, that Ellison pursued legal action against Cameron. Cameron settled out of court and acknowledged Ellison's work in the film's credits. The episodes in question were called Soldier, which involves a specially trained man sent back in time to assassinate a rival, and Demon with a Glass Hand, concerning a time traveler who suffers memory loss and relies on a computer chip implanted in his body to give him information about his mission. And that's basically some little bit of background on the
a little
Terminator.
Trivia.
But I love the Terminator because it was so, for, you know, 84, a sci-fi flick of that magnitude, and then that kind of paradoxical thing where Reese comes in and he bangs Sarah Connor. And
Sarah Connor.
And she has the... the rebel warrior who leads the rebellion against the machines and actually recruits Reese to go back in time to meet up with Sarah Connor. So
her
you know,
son does.
Yeah. And
right.
It happens, you know, the cycle.
And
you think, like, okay, so Reese taught her how to make plastic explosives, but he was taught by John Connor.
His son.
His own son. Taught him how to... It's all fucked up, man.
Well, it didn't make my list. Terminator 2 did make my honorable mention, but Terminator did not. Although it's a great movie, the one thing that I can watch this movie. Whenever it comes on TV, I can watch it, except for the last 30 minutes. The last 30 minutes go on and on and on, and it just drives me crazy.
Wait, I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah.
John, what do you think of the sequels?
Please get up on the mic.
What
we
do you think of the sequels?
I think 2 is okay.
Terminator 2 for me makes honorable
actually,
mention.
Actually, 2 was
almost
fantastic.
Made my top 10.
I thought you didn't like that punk, the punk kid.
Yeah, I didn't. That's the one reason it didn't make my top 10.
It was the same kid, though, from the first one, wasn't it?
No.
You got to get into the mic there, Erica. We
am.
Can hardly hear you.
There was no kidding.
He heard me. He answered me.
Yeah, but you're not. That's not the point.
It's not registering. We're broadcasters here, okay?
Flip
we
the
know
mic
what
up.
We're doing.
Flip the mic up so you can
don't
talk directly
argue
into
with
it.
Them.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah, so anyway, that was my number five. I thought I liked two, and three was kind of okay, but not that great.
Two was my favorite.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Terminator. Actually, the Terminator, the original one, was released in mono. It wasn't even in stereo or anything.
Whoa, that's how old it
they,
was.
They changed it to 5.1 Dolby.
Dolby.
When they released the collector's edition, which I have.
No doubt.
And, yeah. So there we have it. My number five.
All right, well, my number five, John, if you would cue up one of the...
Budgets? We don't need no stinking budgets.
Wow.
Play another one.
Wow.
Because Steve, did Steve get it?
Excuse me while I
know
whip
it.
This out.
Erica, did
Erica
you get
won't
it?
Know it.
She
it's,
won't know it.
It's pre-90.
It's pre-90, so she won't know
it. Does that mean
it.
I didn't get up until I was 90?
It's another classic. It's another 80s classic, I think.
Oh, I must have copied the wrong one.
Yeah.
My number five is from 1974.
It oh, had
a 7.7 out of 10 rating on IMDb. And it's Blazing Saddles.
Wow.
Production began with Gig Young as the Waco Kid on the first day of shooting. The scene where the drunk Waco Kid hangs from a bunk asking if Bart is black.
Is the
Young revealed that he really was indeed drunk.
Wait.
And proceeded to undergo a physical collapse on the set. Brooks shut down production for a day, and Gene Wilder flew cross-country to take over the role.
I was
quieter
than
and it's
that.
A goddamn good thing that this first guy passed out drunk, because
it was Gene Wilder
did the best job ever as the Waco Kid.
Yeah.
And
hold on. Now,
Richard
the role
Pryor?
Of... No.
Oh.
I'll get to that. The role of Bart was intended for Richard Pryor. But due to the controversial nature of Pryor's stand-up routines of the day and his background, being a Negro and all, Mel Brooks couldn't secure financing for the project with Pryor in that role, so Pryor was made a co-writer of the script, and Cleavon Little played Bart. And for those two things made this movie what it is, in my opinion, because Richard Pryor, great comedian, but there's no way he could have done the job
right.
that Cleavon Little
he
did.
He wasn't the black guy?
In that
No.
He wasn't.
I remember the Gene Wilder, though, even though I was only three when that movie came out.
You got Slim Pickens as Taggart. You got Alex Karras, football player, as Mongo. And, of course, the great Harvey Korman as Hedley Lamarr. And did you know that Hedy Lamarr sued Mel Brooks over the use of the name Hedley Lamarr and settled out of court?
Wow.
What a bitch. The only reason we know Hedy Lamarr is because of that goddamn movie. We wouldn't have any idea who she was if it wasn't for Blazing Saddles.
Right.
Stupid ass.
You really like that movie?
I love that movie. I can watch that movie over and
over.
I can't watch it on network TV
because
I cut
you
too much
fucker,
of it out.
You fucking bitch!
But I love that movie. And the last 5 or 10 minutes, yeah, I can turn it off then. But up to then, I love every moment of that movie.
Nice.
And Cleavon Little,
yeah,
great
that,
job.
That didn't make my list at all. Not even a thought. Here's my number four.
Okay.
We got to move it along.
Let me put it this way, Mr. Raymer. The 9000 series is the most reliable computer ever made. No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information. We are all, by any practical definition of the words, foolproof and incapable of error.
There you have it.
No more drinks with rocks.
Too many rocks noises.
I can take the ice out. Wait, can you hear the gulp? Are you ready?
And the movie was...
Wait, can you hear the gulp?
That wasn't Space Odyssey.
No.
No.
What?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
That was
2001.
Al.
A Space Odyssey, 1968, directed by Stanley Kubrick.
Never seen.
I was way before.
You've
my
never
time.
Seen that movie?
Nope.
I think I started watching it one time. It was too boring, too slow.
Way beyond, Steve.
Kubrick's intention was to make it so slow that you actually thought that you were in space because everything happens really slowly when you're in outer space for some reason.
That was his idea, or that's what happened?
Both.
They changed it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When did they change it?
Well, they changed, like, there's a scene where they're in... the spaceship and the window to the outside is showing, and they show the stars kind of spinning. In real space, you don't see the stars at all.
My dad likes that movie.
And when they do spin, when everything does spin, it's very, very slow. You couldn't even pick up
on it. In real space, you don't see stars?
No.
Wait a minute. On Earth, I can see stars.
No, there's too much light pollution.
So you can't
even
see stars.
That's not right.
Have you ever seen any NASA footage and you saw stars?
Yes.
Never.
What's the Hubble telescope doing up there then?
Well, that's different. It's actually
taking pictures.
Pictures?
Did you say pictures?
Yes,
no. The point I'm making is that the camera does not pick up stars when they're filming anything from within or outside of space equipment.
Focus.
I'll send you the link, you know, if you don't believe me.
Send me the link,
and we'll post it on our website.
So
how about
all
we
the
bet?
Other fans
how about we bet?
Don't
so you can owe me another fucking Chipotle.
Oh shit! Did I bring those
what
coupons
other
in?
Fans?
I think I left them in the car. I got something in the car for you. You and I can go out to my car later.
Is it a Chipotle?
Yes,
it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's all wrapped
Chipotle.
Up.
It is. It's wrapped up.
Yeah. See, I knew you'd welch on me. See how you are, man? Freaking welcher.
No doubt.
When he bets, he welches. Right, Steve?
All right, so then what you're saying is...
What about right Erica?
Right Erica?
Yes.
They,
okay.
They put the Hubble telescope outside of our atmosphere because it would have a worse view of the stars than we have on the planet.
Wait, what kind of an argument is that?
That what you're saying is when we're outside of our atmosphere,
so
we can't see the stars.
If I ride a bicycle and it has wheels, when I drive a car, it's also a bicycle?
Yes.
What kind
what
of
I'm
fucking what kind of reasoning is that? Are you retarded?
No, I am not retarded.
That's totally different.
Retarded.
When you're when
I'm sofa king.
When they're filming inside of a spaceship or outside.
Yeah.
The focus of the lens is from a camera is not going to focus all the way out into the stars.
Right.
So you're not going to see the stars.
I'm not talking about a camera. I'm talking about me as an astronaut.
Who gives a fuck about you? I'm talking about the movie.
The
I'm talking about the movie, you retard.
But let me ask you this. When Stanley Kubrick was filming these scenes, was it filmed from the perspective of a camera? Or was it filmed from the perspective of an astronaut?
I have no idea.
I would believe it would be from an astronaut. So the lens and the whole argument about the camera is all fucked up, okay?
So what astronaut was
throw
looking...
Throw it out to shit.
So what astronaut is looking at both of the actors when they're talking to each other?
Okay, are we on number four?
Here we go with nothing. Thank you.
We're on four now, right?
What, that's like saying if a plane has wings, then a bird is a plane. That's stupid.
What?
Stupid ass.
You don't know what you're
That's
talking
the same
about.
Same shit you threw
no,
in my
it's
face,
not.
You cocksucker.
We're the fourth wall.
Yeah.
So
whatever.
We're not an astronaut, you dumbass.
Yeah, because we're the fourth
Wake
wall.
Wake up.
Dickhead.
Fucking come off of your planet.
So you finished with your
Whack.
Snooze Fest 2001.
My snooze fest. I'm not the one that took Blazing Saddles, and the only way you justify it on your list is going... Oh, IMDb puts it as number 8 because everybody else likes it too.
Obviously, you
but
don't
then you
listen.
Didn't listen to the goddamn instructions
Obviously,
to what the list was going to be.
Obviously, you don't listen.
I listen. I listen to the instructions we did. Erica listened, but still,
Sorry,
well, that
right.
was my...
It still meets our requirements. I can watch it over and over again.
So far, no chick movies where there's any women...
I'm sure John will get into that.
That's because they're both men.
No, women that are...
Men
like
that are over 40,
naked.
I might add.
From sex, you guys are homos.
married homos.
Steve chiming in.
Yeah, Steve chiming in. Who? When's the last time you had a date, Steve?
Hold it. Space Odyssey number 4. Come on.
It's not the subject.
Space Odyssey. It's 2001.
Whatever. It's lame.
Yeah, I agree. I concur.
Yeah. Well, it's right, not then. Your favorite, but it's mine. Mine that I could watch over and over again. So
and
I really don't
go
give
get
a
your own
shit
podcast.
What you said.
Yeah, all right. Put your top 10.
Where's your list, Erica?
They'll post.
We'll be
them,
waiting
sure,
for
on
yours.
The forum.
Put yours on the forum.
All right.
So all anyway, that's my 4.
It's
I'm not going to read anything.
Your next one. Is it 3 or 4?
My number 4.
You enjoying that ice?
I love it.
Would
love
you,
the rocks.
Would you like something
live
over
it.
The ice?
No, thank you.
Glenn, live it.
Just a little?
No, I'm
just
fine.
Just a smidgen?
No, nothing. I'm good.
Did you ever have deja vu, Mrs. Lancaster?
I don't think so, but I could check with the kitchen.
My number 4. Ooh. From 1993. Steve, did you get
again.
It?
Oh,
do it again.
Up there
do it
a little.
Again.
Do it
I
again.
Got a couple other clips.
He was asking me for a drink.
I have been stabbed, shot, poisoned, frozen, hung,
oh,
electrocuted.
Yeah. I like this movie. One of my. This would be way up there.
Hey, can I have another?
Sure. Clip. Just don't make too much goddamn noise.
Fuck you.
Oh, what? Whoa.
Clip. Another clip.
Another clip. Oh, she's requesting another clip.
Another clit.
Kep.
That is not what I said.
Clip.
Oh, clip.
Now, don't you tell me you don't remember me, because I sure as heck fire remember you.
Oh, my God.
Nothing? You got nothing.
Oh, you're Eric absolutely
I
right.
I
could watch
I know
this
a
one.
Piece of cake.
Groundhog Day,
yeah.
1993,
Jesus
and ironically...
fucking Christ over there!
Ironically, it's a movie about showing
what?
The same day over and over again, and I could watch this movie over and over and over again. A weatherman is reluctantly sent to cover the story of the world forecasting rat, as he calls it. This is the fourth year of the story. Well, he makes no effort to hide his frustration. On awaking the following day, he discovers that it's Groundhog Day again, and again, and again. First, he uses this to his advantage, then comes to realization that he is doomed to spend the rest of his eternity in the same place, seeing the same people do the same thing every day.
Wow.
Filmed in Punxsutawney, but actually in Woodstock, Illinois, John and Steve and Erica.
Do you need a drink?
Phil Connors goes through February 2nd 34 times in the actual movie. There are many, many more days implied. For example, how he knew everyone so well, blah, blah, played piano. All right, now, if you were to guess how many days he lived, how many days would you guess?
34.
Oh, it'd have to be like what? 5 years.
Yeah, I'm
John
thinking
says
5 years.
I'm
thinking way up there, because he had to learn piano.
Piano, he had to learn everybody, everything
yeah.
about everybody.
At least 4 to 5 years, maybe more.
But that's after he went through all those other phases where he wanted to kill himself. Then he got into the whole positive attitude thing. So, I always thought at least 100 years. That's what I always thought. But Harold Ramis checks in, and he states, Harold Ramis wrote the movie, he states the original idea was for him to live February 2nd for about 10,000 years.
Wow.
Later, he says that Phil probably lived the same day for about 10 years.
Wow.
And there you have it. That's my number 4.
That's great. Out of sight. Fantastic. So happy.
I would have thought I would have made it higher on your list.
Here's my number 3.
You know I love you, baby. I wouldn't leave you. It wasn't my fault. Honest. I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire.
I know.
I didn't have money for cab fare. My socks didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car. There was an earthquake. A terrible flood.
Another 80s movie.
It wasn't my fault. I swear to God.
Erica, you got any idea? Any idea whatsoever? Got another clip there, John?
Come on.
None.
Guess who that was, just singing that.
Do, 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 ba da da
da da da da da da.
In 1980, the Blues Brothers film, directed by John Landis, was released featuring cameos by Aretha Franklin, James Brown, Cab Calloway, Gary U.S. Bonds, Ray Charles, John Lee Hooker, Carrie Fisher, Frank Oz, Steven Spielberg. I didn't know that.
Steven Spielberg?
Yeah, that's right. Joe Walsh, John Candy, and Paul Rubens playing a waiter in the Chez Paul restaurant.
Chez Paul.
The motion picture is set in Chicago, Illinois, and the surrounding area. Chaka Khan is credited as the lead soloist at the Triple Rock Church, where Jake and Elwood have their revelation to reform the band. Twiggy also cameos as a driver filling up her car, being chatted up by Elwood. Charles Napier, well known from various Russ Meyer films, appears as the leader of the Good Old Boys.
The Good Old Boys.
Yeah. The famous mall chase scene was filmed in a real abandoned Dixie Square Mall.
Albeit.
Dixie. Thanks for correcting me there, pitcher boy.
Thank you.
Dixie Square Mall in Hartford, Illinois. Yeah. The Blues Brothers toured that year to promote the movie. Jake and Elwood released their second LP, the soundtrack to the film, which includes the top 40 hit Gimme Some Lovin'. They followed the soundtrack with Made in America, a live performance like Briefcase Full of Blues, which is their first album, which featured the top 40 track Who's Making Love. Sales of Made in America were disappointing, and it marked the last new Blues Brothers album to feature Belushi's Jake Blues.
Wow. That's because he croaked himself.
That's right.
On coke.
And 1978, they opened up for comedian Steve Martin in Los Angeles at the Universal Amphitheater.
Nice.
As the Blues Brothers.
The Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
Minnie Minoso.
Oh, yeah. The Blues Brothers, along with the New Riders of the Purple Sage, opened up for the Grateful Dead for the final show at Winterland, New Year's Eve, 1978. And that... Didn't those guys play that song that you like? Dead Flowers?
No.
Or they covered from the Stones?
Dead Flowers?
Yeah.
No. Who? Blues Brothers?
No.
Who?
Riders of the Purple Sage.
Well, I don't know who they are. I have no idea who that is.
Oh. Okay. Well, that was my number three.
All right,
dude, man, easy with the rocks and
I'm
going to
put the rocks
plastic
away.
Glass.
Just put them away. I'll get them out of my
God
reach.
Damn it.
My number three, John. You can play some audio.
Hold on, man. Jesus
the
Christ.
Audio's coming up for Scott's number three, and this is from 1993. Eric is in the John right now.
You see that? I'm smart, doesn't it?
I know.
Slammed in the nose. Fucks you all up. Get that pain shooting through your brain, your eyes fill up with water. That ain't any kind of fun. But what I have to offer you, that's as good as it's gonna get.
I
won't
Steve
ever get
knows.
That good again.
Again.
You know, John?
You do some mix 'em ups.
You guys wanna smoke a bowl or. Oh.
Outshine. Brad Pitt.
Number three. True Romance from 1993. 7.7 out of 10 on IMDb. Clarence and Alabama are newlyweds who acquire an unexpected wedding present.
Patricia Arquette and Christian Slater.
You got to be in front of a mic, rookie.
This is your last time being here.
It's your goddamn second time here, and she didn't learn that lesson from before. Unknown to the blissfully happy couple, ruthless gangsters are on their trail determined to reclaim their lost property, which is like a case full of coke. This Quentin Tarantino scripted film uses the theme boy meets girl. Here, though, boy meets girl, boy kills girl's pimp, couple takes pimp's coke, and bad boys chase couple. And Elvis is their guardian angel. The word fuck and its derivatives are said 225 times.
Okay, Patricia Arquette and Christian Slater. Wow.
There are 21
very
on-screen
movie.
Deaths, all male, all from death by gunshot. Quentin Tarantino sold the script for 50 G's, which is the minimum amount of money that can be paid for a script, so that he could fund Reservoir Dogs. Bronson Pinchot ad-libbed the scene where his character was caught with cocaine. And let me just run through this all-star cast. Christian
Gary
Slater,
Oldman,
Patricia Arquette, Dennis Hopper, Val Kilmer, Gary Oldham, Brad Pitt, Christopher Walken, Bronson Pinchot, Samuel L. Jackson, Michael Rapaport, Sal Rubnik and James Gandolfini. Outstanding movie. I can watch this any time of the day.
There's a couple versions.
Not me.
You got to get the right versions.
With that, I'm impressed.
Do you know that?
Oh.
Do you know that?
Impressed with that.
Do you know that?
I didn't know that.
Two versions?
I didn't know that.
Two versions?
Steve says there's two versions.
TV and rated R?
Well, actually, in one spot, who actually kills Rappaport at the end? Does Christian Slater or does
his chick.
Patricia Arquette? In one version, Patricia does, and another version, Christian does.
All right, then. There you have it. Steve chiming in on Scott's number three.
And they do slim down Patricia Arquette going crazy on Gandolfini.
Gandolfini.
Nice.
Do you watch Medium now?
No.
Oh.
I won't watch that garbage.
Oh, God forbid.
That promotes psychic BS.
Yeah,
so
the
some
bullshit.
Idiot in Alabama thinks that she can turn her life fortune over to talk to her dead husband. It's a bunch of crap.
Well, maybe we should start a business like that.
We could.
Start a website. We could talk to the dead.
Talk to the dead.
All right, this is my number two.
Maybe you'd
John's
get more,
number two.
Maybe you'd get more votes.
The cup, the chest, the Hebrews used to carry around the Ten Commandments. What do you mean, the commandments? You're talking about the Ten Commandments?
Another
the
80s.
Actual Ten Commandments. The original stone tablets that Moses brought down out of Mount Horeb and smashed, if you believe in that sort of thing. You guys ever go to Sunday school?
You know that one?
I love that last line.
Erica doesn't even know any of these movies.
I knew the last one, thank you.
Oh, my word.
If you believe in that sort of thing.
Right.
I love, right there.
I was in high school in the 80s.
This movie had the best 15 minutes at the beginning.
I think this is one of the best movies of all time.
Okay, another clip?
Give her another
clip. No, I don't have another one.
Doesn't have another clip.
Oh, well...
What do you need another clip for? It's a time waster. Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, 1981. Yeah. Lucas and Spielberg.
Outstanding movie.
And the original character name was Indiana Smith.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked.
But Spielberg disliked the name, and Lucas casually suggested Indiana Jones.
Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
See, I've seen them.
The name was thus changed early in the production of Raiders of the Lost Ark. The origin of the name Indiana is the same in the real world as in the fiction. It was the name of the Alaskan Malamute Lucas had in the 1970s. The same dog was also the inspiration for Chewbacca.
Wow.
Yeah, so... Yeah, his name is also said to be derived from the character Nevada Smith, played by Steve McQueen in the 1966 film of the same name. The Temple of Doom, 1984, was a prequel to Raiders. Indiana Jones 4, which is coming out in 2007, categorized as in production. There have been rumors about various scripts that supposedly are set in the 1940s or 50s, will have Soviets for enemies and a lost continent, although many fans hope that Atlantis is the central point of the story, being thus related to the game. What game?
The game. He's like a rapper.
Oh.
He's with 50 Cent. Fitty. He's with 50 Cent.
George Lucas mentioned a while ago that he plans for Adam and Eve to play a large part in the movie, leading most to believe that the Garden of Eden will be the main theme of the movie.
Whoa.
So that was my number two.
Outstanding movie.
Scott, your number two?
My number two. My number two is from 1964, John, and I first saw it on WGN when I called in sick for school. Actually, I had my mom call in sick. Hey, I don't feel like going to school. Call in for me. So she called in. She went to work. I turned on WGN, 9 o'clock movie. Hard Day's Night. This is an exaggerated day in the life of the Beatlemania-era Beatles. The foursome travel from train to hotel to television to studio where their road crew... While grandfather stirs up trouble and even temporarily convinces one member to leave his responsibilities behind to go off and paradin'. Did you know that the
Beatles
is never mentioned in the movie? John's written answer to the female reporter asking him if he has any hobbies is the word tits. Once Hard Day's Night was confirmed as the movie's title, John Lennon, with the help of Paul McCartney, of course, composed a song that same night playing it the next morning to producer Walter Shenson in their dressing room. And so I saw this movie when I was like 8. I was playing hooky from school. It was on WGN. And I can watch this movie over and over and over again. And the thing about the comedy of this movie is it's a, if it weren't for this movie, Airplane, it was like the doorway, gateway to Airplane. There's a lot of the same type of humor in Hard Day's Night as there was in Airplane.
That's beautiful.
And there you have it. That's my number two. John, you're number two.
That's fan-frickin-tastic.
Again,
no, I'm at number one.
No women.
That's not true.
What, in the movie?
George Harrison met his wife in Hard Day's Night, who she later left him for Eric Clapton. So there is women in this movie.
What do you got to have women in for?
I can't
we
wait
have
for
wives,
Steve.
Steve.
Top 10.
We don't have
movies.
To jerk off to a movie.
No.
Steve does.
Steve's
you gotta
top 10.
You got to have some hotties in it. Hotties.
For what? We don't need to pretend.
And John's number two, because Steve will get
no,
to the forum.
No, I did number two already.
Oh, John's
I was
number
first.
One.
Uh-oh.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. John's number one movie.
Here's my number one.
I can't hear it. No.
Battlefield Earth? Oh, I know.
It's probably number two.
We meet again at last.
And better
be
number
two. Is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Only a master of evil, Doc.
That's horrible.
What, the audio quality?
No.
What?
The Star Wars theme.
Star Wars
theme.
Is my number one.
Really?
A New Hope from 1977, George Lucas.
Really?
Yes.
I thought
Star
that's
Wars?
Number two.
No,
that was Empire Strikes
one.
Back.
What?
Oh, number one movie?
No, number one.
John's number one movie is Star Wars, 1977.
Wow.
But that clip.
No, the clip is from A New Hope, Episode 4, which is where Darth Vader fights Obi-Wan. And that's where he actually, that's kind of the foreshadowing of the prequels, because he says right there, I was once the learner, now I am the master.
Is that where number
He's
one?
He's saying
or?
Right there that Obi-Wan was his master.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was the Padawan learner.
Is that where number four is number one?
Right.
The one that
yes.
came out recently,
1977.
Is really the
prequel,
the first one?
Right.
Yes. Star Wars began with a 13-page treatment for a space adventure movie, which George Lucas drafted in 1973. According to one source, Star Wars creator George Lucas originally wrote summaries for 15 stories that would make up the Star Wars saga. Out of these 15 stories, Lucas originally planned to film only one of them as the feature film. Then, in 1978, following the success of the original Star Wars movie, he publicly announced that he would create a total of 12 films to chronicle the adventures of Luke Skywalker. In 1979, Lucas retracted his former statement and blah, blah, blah. He knocked it down to 9. And then 4 years later, in 83, he knocked it down to the 6 that we have today. Actually, 1995, I believe he said it would only be 6. And originally, it was going to be called, the original name was... The title was Adventures of Luke Starkiller.
Yeah, that's a good thing to that.
And, yeah, that's it. Oh, it made out of the 100 quote list, number 8, May the Force be with you.
May the Force. What was number 1?
Number...
I'm not stupid, I'm smart!
You know, I had number one. I can't remember what it was.
Not like everybody says! That's George W. talking to Dick Cheney.
Nice.
Well, my number one, John, and I would have picked Star Wars Episode 2.
Really?
My number one.
There's no, like, rolling music or anything?
Episode 2 or Star Wars Empire Strikes Back?
Empire Strikes Back.
Which is Episode...
Five. Yeah, episode 5.
Which is really the second.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Okay.
But my number one overall, all-time favorite Scott movie.
Smile.
Right
there. I thought you just got a big bruise on your head.
Boss! Where are my pants?
Over there? On my hope chest?
Leah Thompson.
I've never seen purple underwear before, Calvin.
Holy crap.
Why do you keep calling me Calvin?
That's your name, isn't it? Calvin Klein? It's written all over your underwear.
That's,
You know what? That would have made my list, and I can't believe I didn't even think of it.
That's
damn
Michael
it.
J. Fox that's talking to his too. Mom. His mom is hitting on him,
and
which is hot.
Back to the Future?
Yeah, yeah. Back to the Future with Leah Thompson, who was 23 at the time. Wow, smoking hot.
That's your number one?
My number one is Back to the Future from 1985. Steven Spielberg, and we're going to talk about Steven Spielberg's genius here. We've touched on his genius throughout the top 10, but here we're really going to delve into Steven Spielberg's
number
genius.
Number one?
Number one.
You tell me that this sucker is nuclear?
Back to the Future. Michael J. Fox had always been the first choice for Marty, but scheduling conflicts due to his work on Family Ties initially prevented him from taking the part. Eric Stoltz was initially cast as Marty, but Michael replaced him.
That would have been
he
terrible.
Was a Bush apologist.
Driving straight to the movie set after taping, who, Eric Stoltz or Fox?
As Alex when he was
Family
Ties.
Well, he was a Reagan guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Republican.
This guy slept 1 or 2 hours a night during production because he had to film both things at the same time. And what a genius decision by Michael J. Fox, because nobody remembers Family Ties today.
I remember.
Nobody's going to remember the stupid-ass show
Mallory.
10 years
I used
from
to
now.
Love Mallory.
But everybody is going to remember Back to the Future in 100 years. You know what I'm saying?
I'd watch Mallory and I'd be like,
both.
You know.
No. Family
both
Ties
equally.
Is gone.
It's gone. Nobody knows that.
Your number one was
all right, now, let's get to Steven Spielberg's genius. The device originally considered for use as the time travel machine was a refrigerator. Zemeckis said in an interview that the idea was scrapped because he and Spielberg did not want children to start climbing into refrigerators and getting trapped inside. Number one genius point for Steven Spielberg. Thank you, because I would have been one of those idiots that crawled into a refrigerator. And I wouldn't
check in the specs on the end line for the rotary girder. I'm retarded.
It'd be the John show right now. AKC Total Talk Nonsense with John.
Maybe it should.
Oh.
Here's, you can just shut your big yapper.
I'm only kidding.
Universal Pictures head Sid Sheinberg did not like the title Back to the Future, insisting that nobody would see a movie with future in the title. Now, here's all stupidity. We're talking about Spielberg genius on one hand, and we're talking about stupidity on the other hand. Here's this a-hole.
Fucking cocky!
In a memo to Robert Zemeckis, he said that the title should be changed to Spaceman from Pluto.
Oh, my God.
Tying in with the Marty is Alien jokes in the film, Sid Sheinberg was persuaded to change his mind by the response memo from Steven Spielberg. And here's where Spielberg's genius comes through again. So Spielberg shot off this memo after this Sheinberg said, let's name it Spaceman from Pluto. So Spielberg shot off a memo and said, which thanked him for the sending a wonderful joke memo, in quotes, joke memo, that everyone got a kick out of it. Sheinberg, too proud to admit he was serious, gave in to letting the film retain its title. So Steven Spielberg, genius again! Mm-hmm. And the last thing, when Robert Zemeckis was trying to sell the idea of this film, one of the companies he approached was Disney, who turned it down because they thought that the story of a mother falling in love with her son, albeit by a twist of time travel, was too risque for a film under their banner. In fact, Disney was the only company to think the first was risque. All other companies said that the film was not risque enough compared to other teen comedies at the time. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Revenge of the Nerds, etc.
Right.
But shout out to Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd, Leah Thompson looking hot, and a shout out to Crispin Glover, who did an outstanding job is a young and old George McFly, and of course the Thomas F. Wilson. Do you know who Thomas F. Wilson is?
Biff.
Yeah.
Biff.
Biff.
Excellent. Biff, outstanding job as Biff. And you know,
why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
You know what Biff is doing now?
And leave.
He's biffing.
He's doing voiceovers. He's been doing voiceovers for 15 years.
Is he making like a mess load of money too?
I would assume so. But I thought Biff did Biff and Crispin Glover to me are what really drove that movie in the hot Leia Thompson.
Number one, though?
Number one, Back to the Future.
I am your density.
No doubt.
Why is it that both of your lists, I can go from...
Well, we're waiting for Eric's list to go
from
on.
From 10 to 2, and you go really well, and then the number one's always like this...
All right. Well,
it's his list.
It's my list, and we're waiting to see what Erica's number one movie.
No, it just surprised will be. Me.
Tell us what your number one
she'll
is,
post it
Erica.
On the forum.
Have a number one movie.
How could you not have a number one?
I don't know.
I have some honorable mentions. I could just shoot through them real quick. Animal House, Bad Santa, Bad News Bears, Batman, Caddyshack, Clockwork Orange. These are in alphabetical order. Christmas Vacation, Close Encounters. Die Hard with a Vengeance, Freaky Friday, because Lindsay Lohan is so hot.
And when's her birthday?
Ghostbusters, It's a Wonderful Life, Jaws, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Pretty Woman, Pulp Fiction, Raiders, Reservoir Dogs, Revenge of the Nerds, Road Warrior, Saving Private Ryan, Silence of the Lambs, Sin City, The Sting, Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, Terminator 2, Tommy Boy, Total Recall, Toxic Avenger, Trading Places, True Lies, and the Catheter movie.
Wow.
Yeah, those are all
a
good.
Bunch of those were on
I
my list.
Avenger. Yes.
I was only surprised at number one.
Wow. That's my honorable mention.
I was only surprised Avenger. At number one.
You ever seen Toxic Avenger?
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen every one that Scott mentioned. Everyone. And I probably have.
You starred 80%. In one of them.
I did.
The Catheter movie.
Well, Scott, you know what? We've
about
done over an hour.
Well, yeah.
So,
I trimmed out our top 10 list.
All right, well, thanks for listening to us here on AKC's
hey,
Total Talk.
Hey, and Phil
Talk
never
Nonsense.
Showed up, John. And let me ask you this. Have you ever seen Steve and Phil in the same room?
No.
Okay, all right. So
nice
let me
try.
What the hell's that all about?
I don't know.
You okay.
Cocksucker! Fucking cockass!
You fucking dick!
You fucking shit!
Fuck you!
Fuck my ass. What
Dude,
else?
Listen.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Ah, shut up! You piece of shit!
You don't give a shit!
I've been doing cock push-ups. See? It's fucking simple.
You
cock! You fucker! You fucking bitch!
Oh, man!
Yeah. I just had to get that out because we didn't say any fucks, really.
No, we didn't. We could have put the non-explicit symbol in iTunes, but now we can't.
All right, well, we're out of here, man. You've been listening to the third part of
episode 23
with John and Scott on AKC's Total Talk Nonsense. I'm John.
I'm Scott.
And we'd like to thank our guests, Erica and Steve, for stopping by.
Good night.
Erica, her second time, although she still acted like a rookie.
Did not.
And Steve, who was very well behaved, must have studied up on our Total Talk Nonsense requirements of broadcasters guests
That's
when
bullshit.
They come in.
You poured the drink and made all the noise.
So she spilled your ice on your ass.
Yeah.
So she focuses on one event, okay? What about all the other 18 distractions, okay?
That's why everybody likes me.
That's right.
You pick on everybody.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, Erica,
like
it was
John,
fabulous having you here.
No,
I want you to come
I like
back.
John.
Outstanding guest.
Nope, you're a loser.
And I don't agree with Matt whatsoever. You don't sound whiny or tinny at all.
What
Is
does that
it?
Mean exactly?
He said squeaky.
Squeaky. All right, whiny, tinny, squeaky, they're all the same.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Gosh, shut up!
She's got to learn how to use the microphone.
Got to learn how to
flip it up
mic.
And talk into
I
it.
I am talking into
there
it.
There you go. Touch your lips to it.
She makes more noise when she's off mic than when she's on
Touch
mic.
Touch your lips to it.
Anyway.
Flip it up. Flip it up.
Up.
There.
Ooh.
Talk right into it like
right,
this.
I did.
There. See the difference? Your
okay.
voice is lower.
Yeah, my voice is lower.
See that?
Yep.
Sexier.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, easy.
Okay, never mind.
You're a choir boy.
Oh.
Compared to me.
Calm down over there.
Yeah, we haven't heard from Arnold.
Arnold.
Arnold. I had Arnold up here. I don't know what happened.
So this is episode 23, part 3, concluding with our special guests, Erica and Steve. Thanks for coming. Any last words from Steve and Erica?
How are you?
Fine.
Good.
I'm Detective John Kimball. I'm a cop, you idiot.
I'm a police officer.
Stop it! But I hope you leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach.
You're a fucking choir boy compared to me. A choir boy. Stop being such a pussy. Stop being such a pussy.
All right, we're out of here. John and Scott with AKC's Total Talk Nonsense. We'll
vote
be back.
For us.
Yeah, vote for us on PodcastAlley.com.
Visit our website, www.
And drop us
TotalTalkNonsense.com.
We're out of here.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott on AKC's Total Talk Nonsense.